I can never finish Avatar. I started that shit again yesterday. I still haven't finished
the first one or the second one, bro. The first one.
I never seen that shit all the way through. It's just long. I'm like, yo, I can't. And then they keep going back and forth from like his human body back to the Avatar, and I just that's why I'm like, all right, I'm over this shit. I have, bro. I've been. That shit still to like my attention span for Avatar is too short. I'm like, what? I sat through The Godfather, bro, numerous times, bro.
The series,
all of them. I could sit through the whole day and watch them, just let them rock. And Avatar, bro, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like
Godfather, only the first one's
the
good.
Bonding shit. Like I'm at that point where like he's trying to figure out that flying bullshit. And then I fall off.
Oh,
I
always, damn.
That's it. Like,
do you start all the way over every time you watch it?
All the way over.
He forgot the story.
Exactly.
He forgot the story.
Don't be that long after. I'll just be like, let me fucking. All right, let me run that shit back.
You got to start it before you left off.
Funny, bro.
Do it like episodes.
For real. I remember.
He's like, watch 20 minutes. Yeah, 20 minutes later.
There you go.
Real shit. That's why everybody was like hyping the new one up, and I couldn't go watch it because I was like, I haven't even finished the first one.
I think I finished the first one probably 2 weeks before I watched the new one.
Oh, okay.
And it was solid.
Gives
it
me
was
hope. Like, yeah, gives me hope.
Yeah, that
see,
was cool.
I could watch a Star Wars all the way through a fucking.
Oh, you
Avengers.
Just don't like Avatar then? Because Star Wars is long as hell too.
But I love Star Wars. I think the Avatar shit is just I can't get. The whole,
story doesn't kind
it doesn't
engage you.
I'm being honest with you. I went to go see the second one with him. I seen the first one in pieces, like how we're saying. But my moral of the story is that kids don't listen and they fuck up everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what Avatar.
That's what happened. That's exactly what happened in the movie.
Yeah, they don't.
Kids,
they don't listen
don't
to their
listen.
Parents. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was about.
That was what I got out of it when I saw it. Bro. I was like, if they didn't have them kids, I'm not saying like
fuck
if they at least listen to their parents, bro. Yeah. I'm not saying that I was the most obedient kid when I
was.
Hey,
when you become a father and you see your kids fucking do some crazy shit and eat shit or fall and like you be like, you should have fucking listened. I told you so. So
yeah, I let it happen sometimes
for real. Hell
my
yeah.
daughter stand on top of that shit right
exactly
here on like, that bottle. I was like, all right, I know what's about to happen, and you know what's about to happen, but
they still
wanna,
do it with a smile
out.
And shit. Like,
yeah, like to tempt fate,
right, bro? The other day, my son was like, we were just getting out the shower, and he's like running around butt naked. I'm like, Enzo, stop running around, and he's like, nah, he just with his towel playing with it. Bro, next thing you know, I turn this way, I'm changing the other baby, and I hear a thump.
Bust his ass.
Bro, he busts his tailbone, bro, right on the side of some, like, little luggage shit we had right there. And I'm looking at him, like, and he's trying to, like, not cry, so he, like, no, it didn't hurt. No, no. And, like, trying to laugh, because that's the way he lies to his mom that something didn't hurt when he falls or some shit like that. And he's, like, trying to, like, no, it didn't hurt, and laugh and giggle and shit, and that shit would not come out. I was like, Enzo, just cry, bro. Just cry, man. Because I know that shit hurt you.
Okay.
Like, that shit was funny, bro. These kids is like, fuck. He's 5 right now. So imagine when he's like 10.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Like, bro, you're going to be scraping your elbows and fucking knees.
Yeah. Got to let him do it, though,
for
so
real.
He don't be soft.
How old is your daughter?
2.
Damn. Oh, yeah. You're going to terrible 2s right now. For
yeah,
real.
Man. She's just curious and starting to talk. And
she's shooting hoops already?
She knows what basketball is, that's for sure. You know, she'll see my little brother playing, and she, uncle, and every time she sees ball now, she thinks uncle's playing.
Damn. Like,
if Michael Jordan is on uncle, I'd be like, nah, that's Mike. Yeah. That's Mike. You know, that's what we all looked up to, baby girl. But she, you know, she associates basketball with uncle, so that's pretty cool. But I think she like it, man. She'll see the hoop and be like, hoop. To see the ball, say ball. So,
dang, so you starting her young and real
I ain't
quick.
Trying to, but I'm trying to.
Have you bought her the little set and everything?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's
right. He ain't trying, but he got her the little set and everything.
You put all the shit there. If you play with it, then.
Is that how you got started, bro? Like, you know, the same kind of footsteps, you know, starting a hoop very early?
Yeah. Nah, my dad basically just put a ball in our hand early. You know what I mean? And from there, shit, it was, we loved it. Like, we was watching, you know, Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. At the time, well, me, I was watching, like, late Jordan. So, I'm talking 4 or 5 years old. I'm watching Jordan in 95, 96. And, you know, they playing against the Lakers and all that. Magic's coming back. So I remember those games. We were fortunate enough to go to, like, a nosebleed. And
at the Forum?
At the Forum.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember going to the game. I remember falling asleep.
Damn.
So I just remember that. I don't remember shit that happened at the game.
How old are you, like, three,
probably
four?
Like 4 or 5.
Damn.
You know, 4 or 5. And, you know, my dad had this nice leather Lakers jacket and hat and all that stuff.
That's like one of those oldest vivid memories you got, right?
Yeah,
like,
I just got it. It's burnt in my mind.
Damn.
And then from there, you know, you watching the game and, you know, Kobe is, you know, we draft Kobe. Get traded to us. We get Kobe. And, you know, Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel.
That era.
So I'm watching it. You know, you get Shaq.
I was playing NBA Live 95 in that era. Nintendo and shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so you doing that. And then Kobe, you know, he's the fresh 17, 18-year-old. And, you know, you associate the younger guy with you because you're the younger guy.
Right.
So, shit, I'm like, oh, I love this guy, man. Like, he's Jordan's on his way out. I don't understand it then, but, you know,
shit,
Jordan is getting older.
Exactly.
You know, I got all the Jordan shoes, even though we broke, you know, Pops made sure I had the mics.
Right.
But soon after, Kobe started getting on that court. You start seeing that 360 and all that shit. And I was just like, yeah, this is my guy.
Fuck.
You know, this is my guy. And then Iverson, you know, being a small guy, I was small until I got probably high school. You know,
that shit was crazy back in that era. Like, if you're in middle school, elementary, it was... After Jordan, obviously our era was AI or Kobe.
Yeah.
Picking one. And then some people were like T-Mac and Vince Carter.
Yeah, I remember
shit,
that. That was early 2000s.
Right. Like, that was a trip to always have, like, man, now I'm Kobe. Now I'm T-Mac. Now I'm AI. Like, but, bro, so many people were trying to
But
be
it
like,
was mainly AI versus
AI,
Kobe.
AI, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody had those handles and shit.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
AI was a hood legend, man. Like, I've never seen somebody have such an impact. Probably Curry now. Curry probably got that impact now, but
everybody
I've never seen
threes.
So many
that
people
want
to be a one person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, it was Mike. Kobe was like Mike Jr., you know what I'm saying? But Iverson, like, we all want to cross over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we all want to wear. I used to cut socks. My dad used to be mad as shit. Mm-hmm. I used to cut socks
as
and put them on my arm like an arm sleeve.
I mean, already had braids. I got one. Remember the first time I had one, it was in middle school, and I got it off of Target. It was like one of those NBA ones that Target used to sell. And this shit did not fit me,
It don't fit at all.
Never fit me, bro. I would have to put a fucking, like a forearm
wristband
just to put it on my right here. And then that shit would like tighten up. And I'm like, hell yeah. That shit was
dope.
It looked official now.
Yeah, bro. That shit was sick.
That's how we started, though, you know. And then we, the local YMCA, my mom actually signed me up when I was about like 5. My dad paid for it and whatnot. So we went up there and, you know, I love the hoop. So, you know, you playing with the junior Lakers. You got the gold on like Kobe.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I got the Jordans on and the socks, you know, the gold or purple socks.
Damn.
And I can shoot. Even as a kid, I can shoot. So I just remember like, hitting a couple game winners. The game is like, get like 6 points
for real.
You know what
and
saying?
It's up
like,
to like you know everybody. It's like 30 or 40. That's the highest.
That's not. I'm talking about the age where the high score is like 10.
Mm.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm talking about we playing that early.
Damn,
you know what I'm saying. But even then, you know, you remember snack time after the game.
Right,
you remember your coaches, and then you see the pictures. Like I got pictures and stuff where I'm, you know, that young, 6, 7 years old with basketball. You know, so it starts there. And then it just grows, bro. It just grows. Then I get a little brother. When I'm 6, my little brother, he's born. And, you know, at 4, he followed the footsteps. So that shit was.
So now you're teaching him everything you learned.
For real. You just put him on, right?
And now he's becoming better because he's learning from
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And because he's doing the same process I was doing. Mm-hmm. So the guys that I was watching, Iverson, Kobe, now these guys are vets. These guys are in their shit now. Like,
right.
You know
in their bag.
I mean?
They for
in
real.
Their bag for real. So now Kobe is dropping 60 and
regular.
All this stuff.
And three
AI
quarters
is
and shit.
MVP. You know what I mean? So then you get this little dude that come after that. And, you know, he's obsessed just like I was. And made us pretty mad, though, because, you know, we didn't really want him to keep following us around. Like, he wasn't like my brother was like 2 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's 6 years younger. Yeah. So it's like, bro, like,
mentality.
It's almost like annoying at this point.
It's like, annoying. Yeah. It's like, bro, I don't want you around, bro. We talking about girls.
And he's
we
like, what's that?
Hey,
you could probably relate that one, Maury, sure. too.
Yeah. Yeah. How much younger is he than you?
He's 5 years younger.
Yeah, so you get it. Yeah. You get it.
We didn't get tight till he was in high school.
Yeah, and they like the tail and stuff like that when they that young.
Nah, I couldn't do nothing wrong this kid.
Man, bro. So,
or I had to punk him not to tell.
That's the same. The same. Right. You just had to punk
him.
You
been on say shit.
Hey, you get hurt. Shut up. All right, you cry.
And then God has a funny sense of humor with people because he made him bigger than me. I was like, man, what the fuck?
Wish you would.
What the fuck? Last time we did tussle, it was like, shit, man, you're bigger than me now. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I ain't scared no more.
Right.
That shit was funny, yo.
Right. But that's how that go, man, you know. But then you get proud of them once they gain their own little crew of friends and they, like, doing the same things you were doing to them. Like, my little brother's tearing his friends up in basketball, or, you know, he's the leader of that little, you know, group where they going to play, you know, pick up at the park or at the elementary school up the street, and he killing these guys. So, you know, you kind of get proud when you see it like that. Like, oh, shit, okay.
When did you realize that?
Then you're seeing the moves that you taught him and him doing those moves on other people, and that's where you're like that proud moment.
Yeah, you get that little, like,
was there
okay.
ever a moment when you realize, like, damn, he could go somewhere with this?
Yeah, but that probably was... he probably was in fifth grade.
Really? That early, bro?
It was early.
When you knew he was separated from everybody else?
It was early. Like, he got it earlier than I did, and I would like to consider I was a natural. Mm. You know, my dad would always tell me I was really good as a kid, my aunties, uncles, my mom. But he was different. Sheesh. Like, he had a different, I mean, maybe just him being a little brother and getting bullied,
right,
and getting knocked down and all that. So he was tougher.
Got right back up.
Skin hanging off, whatever. Like, you know, because we played on concrete. You know, we played in the backyard.
Exactly.
Backyard probably no bigger than this room. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it got a court, and you know we got a fence right there. So we knocking each other into the fence. You got the porch right there. You knocking yourself into the porch. Like, it get. We didn't fought. Me and him didn't fought back there. my boy Andrew, all of we didn't fought each other. Other people, trash talking, crying. You know, sharing sandwiches and shit like that. And going right back to it. But after that, you know, you see him, and he wants to play, and he don't even want to play with his size kids. He want to play with, like, y'all. Like,
he wants to keep up with you.
Yeah. So
at that point, he's in fifth grade. Where's your level of basketball? Where are you at with it?
He was in high school, fifth, right? I probably was in high school, and in high school I fell off.
The love of the game, or just like,
it was a lot. Like, so I'll explain it like this. He got this. We weren't even talking about fifth grade. This was before fifth grade. This was probably when he was like five or six, when he was getting bullied that way.
Mm.
Really young. Probably shouldn't have been doing all that shit to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but just life. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, it's just life. It's life. Like, it wasn't malicious at all. It was a little bit. It was a little bit malicious.
Nah,
like,
it's gonna tough him up.
Yeah. Because like, we also wanted him to quit.
Mm.
At some point,
because he was that good at that age,
or he just was that annoying. It's like, you won't leave us alone. Mm. So I'm about, one of the homies gonna trip him, so he gonna go to the rim. He gonna get hurt. He gonna cry. He was a crybaby. Mm. So go sit down. But then it got to a point where it's like, you know what? That's the little secret weapon. Because whoever guard him ain't gonna take him serious. He'll go get like 4 points and win the game for you real quick. So
he's running around too.
And you try to act like you don't want him. I got him. And he on the team, he go get 4. And that may decide the game. So at that point, you like, okay, he going to be nice. And then you sign him up for the YMCA at 5 and 6 years old. And that's when you see the killing and all that of the other kids. But then you fast forward to when, you know, when I think he's really good. Around that time, I played ball, but I was going to high school, and our living situation wasn't great.
Where are you guys at? Like,
we was in South Central.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we was in South Central. We was off of Gage Avenue, Gage and Hoover, right on the corner right there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, in the middle of all
trenches.
Yeah, in the middle of all of it, you know.
And this is like the 2000s.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, shit was popping back then. Yeah,
gangbang capital there, you know. Crime was crazy. I think they called up the street right there on Fig and Imperial. I think it was like Murder Mall. Like the cops deemed it Murder Mall because it was the most killings and stuff in that radius for like five or six straight years.
Damn. Wow.
So it just was, you know, it was like that. But, you know, we don't know, like, we don't think it's bad. That's where we from.
Right,
we
exactly. Really,
everywhere in L.A. that we go is like that. Real the YMCA talk. I'm talking about is in the jungles. We all know the jungles ain't safe.
Hell no.
You know what I'm saying? Shit. But we don't really, we're not looking at it like that. But, you know, as we getting a little bit older and we're starting to understand our demographics, now we have to stay in a certain mile radius to make sure we're safe.
Shit, I had a cousin in South Central, Armando. When we would go see his house, we would never be allowed to go outside.
You can't go outside.
Ever. He had every system because you could not go outside.
And that's what your parents would do. Like, hey, I'll sacrifice my check, but you can't be going outside.
Right.
Like
straight bullets, all types of shit going out.
Yeah, and that, our house was like that. Our house was a house that was next to dope houses. My uncle's, you know, they did that type of stuff. So you would see all kind of people come through there. But it was well established. Now that I'm older, it was well established whose kids these were.
Right.
So leave them alone.
Facts. That's
but
dope.
Outside of these four corners, they can't really protect us.
Right, yeah. Right.
So it's like, go to this park, go to that elementary school and play ball, go to those people's houses. Outside of that, you're in
danger zone.
You're in the danger zone.
That shit crazy, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's really like that. I was telling people that we had to write an essay at Crenshaw High School. Mm-hmm. And I hated writing essays. I hated it. Because it never was interesting. But when they let you do, like, free-thinking essays, write about what you actually want to write about.
So you hated writing papers on, like, certain topics.
Like a research paper and all that shit.
I hated that shit, bro. Because it's like, you telling me to write the shit that's in the book. It's there. I'm like, I already got to write it for it. I'm reading it. Why I got to write it?
Right, so,
But when you let us think and tell us about something that's interesting to you, I would write about basketball. Tell us about something that changed your life. I would talk about the hood. Tell us about somebody that's influential in your life. I would talk about my dad. Like, so I was interested in those things, and I can write for pages with those things. But outside of that, I just wasn't interested. So, you know, you figure that this type of stuff is having an impact on you. So you try to figure out why. So I'm going to school, going back to the question of, you know, my little brother being in fifth, I'm going to high school. I didn't play. I started gaining weight. You know, your body going through all that stuff coming through.
Right,
you know,
right.
Puberty and all that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the structure of going to work out for real. The coaches that really believed in me weren't in my life no more because I got older.
Right, right.
And we just kind of went our separate ways. I wasn't at those same YMCAs and whatnot. And then, again, like we were saying, you start going through those financial problems where your house is getting foreclosed or, you know, you're getting
evicted. Yeah, it's like 08 already, right?
Yeah,
06.
I graduated 09, so this is about 06. Mm. Yeah. So you start
that bubble starting to burst before that recession in 08. That shit was crazy.
Right. So you starting, and we don't know this. We just
kids, just growing up.
So, you know, people losing their homes.
Real shit.
You understand something is happening, but you don't comprehend the full scale of it. Yeah.
Bro, something is happening. Mm-hmm. And you wondering, like, why the hell is it so hard right now? Like, why is everybody, like, depressed and hurting?
Yeah.
And, you know, adults are meaner right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get as much leeway.
Yeah.
Like people, you know, people really going through stuff. You start seeing.
And then you see this shift, I think, also in the schools at the same time, because a lot of teachers let go.
Yeah.
Classrooms start get bigger.
Yeah.
That shit was real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a real thing. So in those high schools and classes, and I would go to sleep in those classes, bro. I wasn't sleeping at home. Mm-hmm. You going through whatever you're going through
at the house.
So, you know, I'm making sure my little
brother.
This at Crenshaw High School. So, you know, I'm making sure my little brother's ready for school. I'm making sure my other little brother, who's 2 years younger than DeVerl, he's ready for school. I'm making sure they good. My dad still has to work. Their mom still has to work. So I got to bathe them.
Right.
I got to give them their, you know, their food and whatnot. And in ninth grade, my dad allowed me to drive. So a lot of times I'm driving.
That's responsibility.
That's mm-hmm. a lot of responsibility. I have no license, no permit, no nothing. But I can drive because he taught me how to drive at 12.
Right.
I had to grow up super quick. Fast.
He's like, I need your assistance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I need it. For real, I need it. So after that, you know, basketball for a couple years wasn't that important.
Right.
You know, and then you're looking at my little bro, he's fifth grade, and it's still important to him.
Mm.
So, okay, let's make sure you're as good as possible. I still know basketball. It's natural to me. Let's make sure, like, we playing one-on-ones, two-on-twos. I'm putting you through little workouts. I don't know what I'm doing all the way here, but I know we working hard as hell. Go run around the house 15 times, come back, do 20 push-ups.
You had him like that,
just little
bro.
Shit. Like, that's I don't know what crazy. I'm doing, yeah, but I just got him working.
Right.
So we doing that.
Mind off everything else.
Mind off everything else. Because you don't need to be going through this, bro. I'm feeling it, and I'm way too young to be feeling it.
Shit.
So you don't need to be feeling it. You know what I'm saying?
That's honorable.
You became a third parent, basically.
I had to. Mm-hmm. I had to, bro. And it
takes a village, they say.
It really does, bro. And I don't regret it at all because he had the gift. I mean, he was as excited for basketball as I was when I first seen Kobe and Iverson and all that. But he never lost that. Excitement
that spark.
For the game. Like, he never wanted to go party. I never seen him put liquor to his lips. Never seen him put.
So he was 100% dedicated and full focus.
And he's 25.
That was
now.
The addiction.
That was the addiction. Like, to this day.
Yeah.
To this day, I don't crazy. See him. I mean, he could party. He'd be doing his thing.
Right, right.
He did his thing with his boys. But uh-huh. I still don't see him putting no liquor to his mouth. No weed, no nothing. So he just hoop.
Right.
So it was that same way. So him coming up, sixth, seventh grade, now it ain't a secret no more. This little kid out the hood.
Oh, shit.
Who's that? Because he's, you know.
He killing everybody.
The kid that he playing against is somebody.
Oh, shit.
And if he's somebody, who the hell is that? Because this kid's cooking. Ranked.
Damn.
That little dude that's guarding him is killing that kid that's ranked. So now, where's he from? So okay. Does he play for any big name? Not yet? Okay. You know, we want to see a little bit more of him. He has to get on a bigger circuit.
Mm.
Played on a bigger circuit. We got, got him playing AAU basketball.
Sick.
Couldn't afford it, so... We had to make sure he can make the team. And, you know, when you're one of the best kids, when you make the team, you don't really pay for AAU.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? The people that pay for AAU, they not the best kids.
Mm-hmm.
The best kids, the best of them, they don't pay.
Right.
So once he started going to some of them tryouts, it was known, like, okay, he's free.
It's almost like, yeah, it's like a walk-on. You
yeah,
get to walk
yeah,
on.
No. He's with us. Sheesh. Don't worry about nothing. Yeah. So that started happening, and then that changed it all.
You know. And were they looking at you like, did you get this kid ready like
mm-hmm.
this?
They would ask me all the time. They would ask me all the time. The craziest shit I've been asked, because I don't look old. I got offended a couple times. That's your son? Like, come on. This is before the beard is
yeah, crazy. Hey, yo, so at that age, you took that upon yourself to be like, I'm pops, you work, I'm going to take him to
my
to practice.
My pops is older. My pops was 51 when he had me.
Mm.
So he 56 when he had DeVerl, 57.
Got
you. So, you know.
By the time DeVerl was in middle school,
for
sure.
So he don't really
he did need your assistance.
What?
Potential he had and all that.
He didn't get that. Like, he didn't understand what AAU and all that shit was. You know, all he knew was the YMCA. Shit, he played at the YMCA and he went in championships. What else he got to do? I'm like,
it's crazy though how knowledge is passed from one generation
man.
To another. Like, he taught you what he knew, but then you grew from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you taught your brother, and mm-hmm. then he's grown from that.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. So we doing the AAU thing. And when we first get out there, you know, my brother's nervous and whatnot, so he don't know what to expect. And, you know, you're playing in better facilities now. You got better uniforms and shit like that now. So
gyms are squeaky clean.
Yeah. They give you shoes. So the shoes that we got that he busting out of, because he was real hard on his shoes. Like, DeVero was super hard on his shoes. Like, he would mess him up.
Yeah, because he's stopping on a dime,
stopping on a dime on that Derrick Rose type stuff. Yeah,
exactly, bro. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you getting three or four pair of shoes out of these AAU teams now.
Damn.
So now we playing other good people. And now you get to see your little brother match up with some of the guys that they saying, oh, this guy's the best player in California.
Oh, shit.
Oh, this guy's the best player up north. Oh, this guy's the best player in Arizona. And then you go so on and so forth. You start traveling. You know, this the number one player in the country. This the number one team in the country. And it's like, oh, I get it. I get why, I get it. So, it was fun to see him kind of like bust out of that. I never got all of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as good as I was at basketball, I never was on an AAU team traveling because of my talent. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was traveling because he was that good and the teams wanted him to play and, you know, it was just fun.
I mean, that even took him to, like, the Olympic team at a young age, right? Like,
oh, man, going to that was probably one of the best experiences
I've ever had. So you were, like, his manager through all that time, like,
in a sense. You want to give it a title. Right? Yeah, if you want to give it a title, yeah.
His guardian, in a sense.
Yeah, I was his guardian.
Trainer, brother.
Yeah.
It was all wrapped in. Damn, bro, what a blessing you are to his life, to be honest.
I mean, he was a blessing of mine, too,
exactly.
Man. I was able to like, really live out some of my basketball dreams through him as well.
That's beautiful.
You know,
bro,
what I'm saying? But yeah, no, the USA team shit was crazy though, because like we were talking about with that AAU stuff, he was playing with a kid that went to Sierra Kane too, Derek Thornton. You know Derek?
Derek. Yeah.
Derek Thornton, light skin, all that. He only played for Sierra Kane high school, like just his freshman year. But he was playing with him in middle school.
Okay.
And Derek was ranked. And a few of the recruits for USA team was watching Derek and about to invite him to go to the USA tryouts.
They picked
Derek too.
Oh shit.
They picked Derek too.
Oh,
but
so they were scouting him. They scouted your brother.
They seen my brother and they was like, yo, so he was one of the last guys picked to go to the USA tryout.
He's like 2015? No,
that's earlier than that. That's probably like 2000. He graduated 16. That's probably like 2013.
Oh,
he
shit.
He was like
ninth grade. Yeah, that's when I had just started at that shop right over there. Yep.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he had Cody on that team.
Yeah. Cody was the number one player in the country at that time, too. Like, Cody was bringing a lot of attention as well.
And that was, like, that first Sierra Canyon team, right, that, like, they had then. Mm-hmm. That shit was crazy.
Mm-hmm. But it started in middle school. Like, they went to the same middle school, and they started on the same AAU team, right?
Cody and him or Derek?
Cody, DeVero, Derek, Remy.
Oh, shit.
All those guys.
Remy, started too?
All those guys. Started on the same AAU team. Terrence McBride, Adam Seiko. All those guys. And some other guys who end up being real players as well, like Ethan Thompson and David Singleton, who's at UCLA right now. Ethan Thompson's in the NBA, played for the Bulls.
That's crazy.
Like a lot of guys. So just guys around the Valley, guys around LA. You know, we get
the blessed. SoCal talent.
Yeah, yeah. No, we get blessed to play for what was their team called? It was CBC, but before it was CBC, it was Cali Style.
Mm.
So we get introduced to one of my mentors named Jeff. Jeff was like, you know, we want to put together a solid team around, you know, his sons and whatnot, get these kids some opportunity to play against, you know, some of the best players in the country. And Jeff is, you know, a wealthy man, so he's really a sports head. So he puts this team together. Gets a sponsorship, I think, through Adidas at first. They got nice uniforms, and that was his first taste of, like, real AAU basketball, traveling and shit. So they do that, and we see everybody. We see the Lonzo Triers that played for the Knicks for a little while. He was the number one player in the country.
Yeah. That little 10-year-old phenom that was like on Lonzo Trier, right?
Yeah, that's back in the
back
day.
Back when he was like five, they were calling
he
on
was on
ABC
magazines,
and everything,
bro.
That shit is crazy.
He was on magazines and everything. He ended up playing for the Knicks for a minute.
Yeah.
We see Seventh Woods, who ended up being one of the best players. His mixtape went crazy because he was dunk crazy at like 12 years old.
What? Cassius Stanley and shit.
Cassius, but that Cassius came after us. Oh, okay. Cassius is with us, but Cassius was young. He was a young boy.
I remember his fucking, when he was at Bellflower or Belmont or some shit like that.
Who, Cassius?
Yeah, like one of his bars life. He was like eighth grade and dunking crazy, yeah, but
in eighth, he was at Sierra. He went to Harvard Westlake. That ninth grade Harvard Westlake Cassius was ridiculous.
Is that one where it's a black jersey, I think it was, or something, or red?
Oh,
you
talking about Belmont Shores. That's AAU. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it, bro. He was dunking like, it looked like he was looking down at the rim.
I remember Cassius. She was crazy. I think I was there for his first dunk. He was like in like sixth, seventh grade, right?
What?
So he was at practice. And he was, you know, rim grazer.
So he was on the same AAU with
the Yeah, bro. He just was on the younger team.
Oh, okay.
He was on the younger team. And I don't know, man.
Oh, that's like right. He's got like, what, a year or two on him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It felt like overnight, man, that kid just woke up and he was just bouncy. And I was like,
how?
Cash. What happened? Like, and this is like before he got 6'5". He was like probably like 5'11", but he was bouncy. And I was like, how did that happen? I just seen you. It wasn't like that. Like,
overnight.
But overnight. And he started really going off. But before Cassius and all that, like, yeah, they had a hell of a team. It was, you know, we went across, you know, the United States playing in some of the best tournaments. Shit. And,
took you overseas with the, with the Olympic team, right?
Yeah, but that came a little bit later. What I'm talking about was more so like middle school.
The build-up to that.
Yeah. The build-up.
The foundation.
That Sierra Canyon team that you're talking about, that was this.
Before
Sierra.
So that Sierra recruited that AAU team. Was like,
so
come on.
Sierra, the guy I was telling you about, Jeff, was taking his kids to Sierra Canyon. You know what I'm saying? And hey, let's continue what we was doing in AAU.
That's so beautiful.
Let's go, all these kids, let's go to Sierra Canyon and create something like Modern Day has.
Shh.
I'm telling my dad, like, you know, at this time,
you're like,
all the basketball decisions is on me, and I'm still young, but all the basketball decisions.
He's like, he's respecting your decisions.
I'm like, Pops, I went to Crenshaw High School. I went to Crenshaw because of the legendary, you know, basketball school that it is. It's the world championship. Crenshaw High School has a world championship.
Really?
Not a national championship. They got national championships too. I don't know too many high schools that have a world championship.
That played against other.
They played against
Germany
tournaments
team
in the world,
France team and shit.
And won in the 70s. They have a world championship.
That's fire, bro. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Crenshaw, I was 8 years old. I've actually cut hair in Crenshaw for like a fundraiser years ago. And that shit, that it's so historical,
it's
even that whole area.
Legendary. Like Crenshaw High School.
And then watching Love and Basketball,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
watching
one of the most famous basketball movies ever, right?
You see the gym right there and that shit.
So that's why we all go to Crenshaw. You know what I'm saying? Like you go to Crenshaw.
The heritage.
Then you want to go to USC. Mm-hmm. Then you want to do that. So my brother was right up down the pipeline. He wanted to go to Crenshaw. And by the time he was in seventh grade,
he's like, Crenshaw.
Hey, Pops. Nope. I know. I'm Crenshaw baby. I'm near. I'm from the hood, the whole thing. Jeff won all these guys to go to Sierra Canyon, the school called Sierra Canyon. Shows us a brochure. They don't even have a basketball gym yet. The brochure is like, education this, education that. Jeff is showing us. I seen the blueprint to that gym that they have.
Before even.
4 years before.
So that guy was the visionary.
So he has the blueprint. This is the first time I've ever seen somebody have a blueprint to anything. Like, if they built this mic, somebody made a blueprint of how it was going to look. It's the first time I've ever seen a blueprint. I've seen how Sierra Canyon Gym looks right now, 4 years before.
They're about to make another one, too.
Blue paper, you know, just like crazy.
About to make another one? What you mean?
They're about to make another gym. Well, he works there when he does the lighting gigs.
Oh, you said they're about to make another gym at Sierra?
From what I've heard, they're about to make another gym.
Oh, yeah, they have to make at least some more room.
Cause that's like it looks like a small gym, kind of, right?
It is,
like,
but it is a pretty small gym. It was a smaller gym. Bro.
I mean, they do everything. In
no,
there.
But like I'm saying, like you know how like high schools have a small gym where you usually practice in, and then they have the big gym.
True, they
that's
always
what
have
that,
two gyms.
I always feel like that. See, when I see the like the Bar's Life and all that, and I'm like, that look like a small gym. It don't look like an official big ass like high school gym.
Yeah, there's only bleachers on one side.
But you got to remember, Sierra's students is only, I think, like 300 students in the whole school.
It's not big.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a private charter, or is it?
It's a private school, yeah. It's, okay. It's a private charter, but we all know who all went there. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these famous kids and whatnot.
So at that time, it was known for just these famous kids going there.
That's it, and education.
And then you guys came in with that first basketball team and that, we're going to build this.
We came in raw, man. I remember my brother had a sidekick, and all the kids at the Sierra Canyon, sidekick.
Crazy.
All the kids at Sierra Canyon thought he was the coolest kid ever because he had a sidekick.
Oh, so Sierra Canyon got cultured when you guys went to that.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
It was a whitewashed private school.
Yes. And then
all my boys came through. Hey, because I was cutting everybody's hair. Like, the shop I was at, they was cutting everybody. Cody's everybody. I was cutting Gabriel's everybody. Like, and then even on the football team, too. Like, they did the same thing with the football team.
Yeah, same thing with the football. The football team didn't exist when we got there.
That's crazy.
It's like, so the basketball team was playing at some church.
Wow.
They had a couple of my guys that I knew, but after my brother and them went there, they just started transferring and stuff.
It blew up.
It was over because they knew that these freshmen were about to start and all this stuff.
And that was 4 years of greatness with them.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was really five because after my brother graduated, Cody and them was right behind, so they still had that year.
Right.
So the year that we get to the USA thing, so, you know, we playing all the best teams in the country, seventh grade, whatever. They all check into the school in seventh grade after that crazy summer of playing against some of the best players around the country.
Oh, shit. So that school goes from middle school.
It goes from elementary.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, wow.
It goes from elementary. But the middle school, when we got there, and middle school was like, I've never seen an auditorium for middle schoolers. I've never seen like an actual art class for middle schoolers. They have theatric classes where it's like all black and they got stages and all that. So we taking a tour of the school and I'm like, Pops, he got to go here.
Sheesh.
Like, he got to go here because this is more like how college looks.
Opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to meet people and all this. And I'm thinking that way back then.
And the networking and everything that you can do.
But that also comes with having like an older father too. That's like way older. That's crazy.
He
bro.
Gets it.
Yeah.
Like, so his mom was resisting though. His mom was like, nah, like what? He going to be going way out there. How he going to get there? And they had to bus him out and stuff like that. But it worked out. And we all came to an agreement to let him go here. But it was a culture shock for sure, man. He was showing up with PF Flyers on, Chucks on.
One of those.
I remember that era. It was the American Eagle era back then.
Yeah, American Eagle.
Hollisters and shit.
Yeah. Aeropostale.
So he had the sidekick with the PF Flyers on, man.
Fresh.
You know, trying to get it in. But, you know, after that, you know.
And you're still at Crenshaw, or no? You're out of Crenshaw.
I'm probably out now. I think I'm just now getting out of high school, but then that eighth grade year come around, and that's when it really pop off. So that eighth grade year, you know, he's turning into one of the best eighth graders in California. So this is a big state. If you're one of the best eighth graders in California, now you get invited to some of these camps and all
like
that.
Like Nike camps, Adidas camps.
Let's see how you against. You know, the New York kids or against the Ohio kids or the Chicago or the, you know, let's put all these kids in a camp. So he started getting these invites to these camps. And he's killing these camps.
Shit.
So now he's killing these camps. So now he's getting write-ups. Oh, DeVerl was top 10 at this camp or next camp. Oh, he was top 5 performer at this camp. So now the rankings are coming out.
Right.
And the first time I seen him ranked, he was like 90-something. And I was like, okay, you ranked top 100. That's crazy, right?
That's dope.
Seventh, eighth grade.
Nationally.
Then he went to a couple more camps, and that shit changed because he was killing those camps. And he was killing that AAU circuit going into eighth grade. Now you rank top 30 in the country.
Oh,
and
damn,
now
bro.
You plan, because they're playing, like if he's in seventh grade, they're playing ninth graders. Hmm. Like, because we always played up. They play eighth graders, they play ninth graders or whatnot. We always play up. So by the time he plays guys his age, it's a wrap. They're cooked. He's faster than them, he's stronger than them. Same thing with Cody. Cody was sixth grade. We had Cody. Cody was in sixth grade, number one sixth grade in the country, number one seventh grade in the country, number one eighth grader in the country. When he was in sixth grade, he was already 6'5".
Bro, he naturally built huge.
Just a big ass.
I know his brother, too. He played at Texas. I think some type of Texas football team. But huge ass dude, too. I'm like, God
His dad's hands about that big. Like, they just big people. And he came out here. Cody was a beast. You know, he from Kansas City. So he was, they eat.
Yep.
You know, they some big people,
Oxtail,
man.
Oxtail and shit.
Like, yeah. They I love those people to death, man. The Riley family is family. So
that's fire, yo.
You know, we going around the country with Cody and DeVerl.
And that's that 1-2 punch.
Against anybody.
Really?
Against anybody.
Kobe and Shaq.
Win lose or draw. Grade. Win, lose, or draw. Sheesh. We against anybody. So
what was the toughest matchup that they both had at that time? Or somebody, man, that it was like,
that's a great question.
That it looked like, oh, these guys can't stop them, but
that's
then
that's a great question. That's a great question. Damn, that's a great. Let me think about that one. That's a fantastic question. DeVerl and Kobe. And
that's like Kobe and Shaq right there.
DeVerl and Kody. But it, you know, as much as it was Kobe and Shaq, we had guys though
on the wings and everything,
like Derek, or you know, even the younger team, like, you know, David Singleton and all these kids. These are really good guys. Sometimes we were just a little bit younger,
right?
But when I seen them play against, I think his name was Khalil Turner, and he was the 8th grade number one player in the country, and Cody was the 6th grade number one player in the country. So he was 2 years older than Cody, right. Same position, and he had like a jumper, big like Cody and all that stuff. He had game, and they had somebody else. I can't remember the kid's name. DeVerl had like 45 on them in New Orleans in the championship game, but they beat us. DeVerl was killing them guys, but they beat us. So them, but then when they got real serious, like when we start really getting our name, we played against this team called the Texas Titans out of Dallas.
This is on the AAU circuit.
On the AAU circuit. Oh my, they had a bus. They had a plane.
What? Wow.
Them, they rich.
Who funded this?
They rich. They rich. Julius Randle played for that team. Not when DeVerl played, but Julius Randle played for that team. He was older.
Wow.
They had a kid named Mickey Mitchell. He was the number one player in the country, too. White boy. Cold. Cold. And they had, they was just Texas boy. They was big as hell and all that. So they gave us fits. Like, those were really good games with those games. Yeah, they gave us fits.
So who got the best basketball players, you think?
California, man. Come on.
Because you've seen it.
Been propping this up.
No, I know, but you've seen it. You've seen it from all over. Like, you've seen your brother play.
To be real, California is big as hell when it comes to the AAU circuit because there's so many teams.
Right.
So it can be DeVerl and Cody on one team, but the next team has two other guys that are good, and the next team has the number one player in the country, and it's just so big here.
So it's very flooded,
man. And then you got the guys up north that you can't forget about. You know, you'll get guys up there that's crazy good. Yeah. So California, I would say California, but if we put our talent together and played against other places, it's gonna be hard to beat us. But we ran into teams though, like the Houston. I think they were called Houston Hoops. There was a team in Houston. De'Aaron Fox, all those guys was
on
that team.
Shit.
Then you got the guys out in Arkansas with Malik Monk and all those guys.
What?
Killers. Then you got the guys out of St. Louis, Jason Tatum, them. Then you got the guys out in New York. You got Malachi Richardson and all those guys. Like, it was, when I say it was, when you get the best of the best, it's crazy the talent that some of these kids was having. So that's what I was most excited about, is because the guy.
Did you guys ever play Lonzo Ball on that circuit?
Absolutely. We played Lonzo 20 times.
How was
probably
that?
15 times.
Him and his brothers or what?
Huh?
Him and the brothers?
Yeah.
When they had that hype train on them, or before all that? Like,
when it was getting started. So we played Lonzo Ball and them when they were, because DeVerl and Lonzo are the same age.
Right.
The same grade and everything. We played them when Lonzo was in 7th grade, I believe. He was in 7th grade.
His shot was ugly then, huh?
Yeah, they had horrible looking shots. They can shoot. They just looked weird.
That's crazy, right?
But they were shooting them.
Freaking more.
Bro, like, they were shooting them same long-ass shots. Back then,
half court,
we were beating them though. Like we would beat them because they would just shoot them long ass shots,
long rebounds. You out of and your brother's smart with the balls. Absolutely, like I'm gonna fight the outlet.
If you shoot that long ass shot, I'm gonna get the rebound. I'm faster than everybody. I'm about to go lay the ball up. Cody Duncan, you know what I'm saying? So we beating them at that time. We don't know who they are yet. A couple years later, ninth grade, we starting to hear Lonzo Ball, Lonzo Ball, Lonzo Ball, and. Personally, you know, I'm like, this ninth grade, we're going to tie back that USA thing, too. Ninth grade, DeVerl is playing with Derek Thornton at Sierra Canyon. First year that the gym is open. They're the first people to ever play in that gym, the whole thing. And the buzz is around Sierra Canyon because, you know, they got these two freshmen that's over there, you know, killing. Now, after that, you know, you get the USA invite. My little brother, you know, go to the tryout, and I go. It's in Colorado Springs, and I'm seeing him killed. These are the best of the best now.
Oh shit!
This ain't a camp where 100 people. This is 64 people.
And this is the top ranked. This is
the best.
Cream of the
best.
Crime.
This is the best. And they and it's so organized. It's like NBA. This is the same place they train NBA players at for the USA team. They got the same jerseys. They got the same everything, the same shoes, the same socks, the same everything as the NBA got, the Kobe with the USA and all that, the same thing.
Fire.
So my brother, it's a tryout. It's 64 guys, put them through the thing, whatnot. They scrimmage from there, get cut in half. Next time around, probably a couple months later, they invite you back. So that 30 get invited back. He made that cut. I'm already thinking, that's what's up, bro. You made it. You top 30. I don't give a fuck what happens now. Like, you're top 30, and they invited you back. He kills that next one. But there were some other guys killing it too. So I'm just like, they're gonna go with the politics. They're gonna invite, they're gonna put the ranked guys that's ranked ahead of him on the team, like all the other camps would do.
Right.
He makes the fucking team.
The 15
he roster. Made the four, the, yeah, the 15 roster.
Oh, shit.
He makes the team. I'm like, bro. I mean, like, you my little bro and all that. you really the man. Like, you him.
Oh, shit. Like,
you him. And he did some shit that even surprised me. I'm always in his ear. He stole the ball. Like, you know, you got teams or whatnot. He's a point guard for one of his teams, and they make it to the little championship. So now the whole gym is watching the championship. He steals the ball from one of the guards to try to cross him up, steals the ball, takes two dribbles past half court, and dunks on the seven-footer.
Oh, shit.
The seven-footer throws him into the training table because he's so fucking small. He's like your size, like
right, at little, that time, right? Yeah.
And the seven-footer throwing you into the training table. Just think of that type of shit.
Oh shit.
So that happens. We like, yo, what? After that game, they make the decisions of who's on the team and whatnot. So I'm just like, bro, I don't care if you made it or not. You're a legend for the shit you just did.
Right.
That was crazy.
Like, yeah, bunnies like that.
What? Because he just got them hops in like ninth, in like seventh grade, so they were fresh.
Yeah, oh shit.
Wasn't no hurt knees or none of that. Like he had them fresh bunnies. And, you know, he dunked on the guy. He hyped. He get back on defense, and he's talking. He's yelling because that's what I told him. Just, you know, be the loudest person there. You know,
vocal.
Take control of the game. Be a point guard. Yep. When somebody in front of you pass it, when you know, be a killer. He was a killer, and he made that team. So, boom, makes that team. They go to Uruguay. They win the gold.
Oh shit!
You know they do their thing.
So you were with him and
no, I didn't. I didn't make. I didn't have.
A was that like an Olympic team or a FIBA?
So it's team? It's a FIBA team. It's okay. What do they call that? The
UA or under
17?
Under
15 team.
Okay.
So he made the under 15. No, under 16 team.
Under 16. Yeah.
Under 16 team. In Uruguay, they win the World Cup thing. That's dope as fuck. You know, he do his thing. That's what's up. He came off the bench for that team. And
out of curiosity, you know, I mean, just because I don't know if he was in any in the play at this, but was Luka playing internationally at that point?
Oh, Luka's younger.
Okay.
So Luka's like, younger.
I'm just thinking because it's Olympics and all that, or FIBA.
Yeah, I'm sure he was because he was playing at 13.
Yeah, and I saw that shit. Bro, yeah. I was like, what the
fuck? Yeah, but I don't think Luka was playing because you got to qualify. Like, so America qualifies because we win these tournaments and all that. We're America.
Yeah.
You know, all the other teams, same thing. You got to qualify. I don't think Luka's team was qualified at the time.
Got it.
Or he wasn't playing at that level to where that Slovenia team would qualify.
Got it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because if Luka was what they say he was at 13, yeah, he definitely was playing pro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Was there any NBA talent, though, that you saw, like, when it was that FIBA?
NBA, that's in the NBA now?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Shit. Harry Giles was the number one player in the country. He was on our team, USA. My boy, Jason Tatum.
Oh, snap.
Jason Tatum was on that team.
Your brother was playing with Jason Tatum?
Yeah, they were on the same team.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Jason just scored Tatum. 50 in the All-Star game. I know it was a layup line, but still, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 55 double missed, man. Boy, a legend.
He took out AD's record.
Yeah. AD had the record?
AD had 50, I think.
Yeah, 52.
But last year, yeah, Curry and him were tied at 52, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. AD in the Lakers jersey had 52? I don't know if it was in
the
Lakers
jersey. Oh, it can't be the Lakers jersey.
It wasn't the Lakers jersey, but he had the record for the most points.
Was he on the Lakers or was he on the Pelicans?
It was the Pelicans one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Actually, I didn't know that. I just learned something.
That's crazy.
But yeah, Jason was on that team. Jason was a, you know, young kid. Babyface assassin, but he got the same game he has now.
Oh, shit.
Like, literally just a technician. You had VJ King on that team who was ranked really high. He's actually in the same league that DeVril's in now in London.
Oh, shit.
I was about to ask, where's DeVril playing? Because I was seeing his latest post.
He plays in the Sharks, UK, in a place called Sheffield.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like an hour or two away from London. They play against London and all that, so... He's in that league, you know what I'm
saying?
That's
dope.
Yeah.
Damn, but from Sierra to Santa Barbara to...
Yeah, yeah. He went from Sierra. I do it like this. He went from the hood.
Yeah, that's better.
Right.
He went from the hood, legend, to a YMCA legend, to a Hoop Masters and Cali Style legend. To a Cal Supreme legend, which is a bigger Nike team, AAU.
Uh-huh.
To a Sierra Canyon legend.
Yeah.
And then he went to college. But yeah, that Lonzo Ball question. After we come back from the USA, you know, he got a gold medal. He won't take his jersey off. He keeps the gold medal on like it's a chain. Like he was literally wearing it like it was jewelry.
I Cuban link with it and everything. Imagine.
As soon as he get off the plane, I take three shirts. I got three shirts, a hoodie. I'm like, yeah, this is me. You can have the rest of that, but this me.
That's my last name too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, this is me for sure. But then you start hearing Lonzo Ball, right? And Lonzo Ball is buzzing and all that. We just like, who is Lonzo Ball? Like, who y'all keep talking about? And they Sandy and Chino, we like, bro, there's nobody in California that we don't know. Who is Lonzo Ball? And then when we see him, we like, oh, them the dudes that used to shoot all them threes and stuff in seventh grade. Oh, okay, whatever. Like, we're not worried about, you know what I'm saying? We be beating them.
Right.
Shh. It wasn't the same kid, boy.
What?
Now he had his little brother Jello with him, and it was on. I was like, oh, I get it now. I get why the hype is there. And by the time they were both in ninth grade, so now we having some of these little battles and some of these little high school tournaments, right, and whatnot. And we still beating them. We got a great record against Chino Hills.
Oh, shit.
But by the time they were seniors, it was no seeing them. Really? That senior year where they went 35-0.
They went 35-0?
Chino. Oh, and they won a state championship. Yeah, they whooped our ass. They got us.
Was LaMelo playing already by that time?
Mm-hmm. That was LaMelo's first year.
Oh, it was all three of them.
Melo's first year.
Damn,
man,
all three brothers on the same squad.
Oh, man.
That's when LeVar Ball was like, never lost.
Oh, when he say his three boys ain't never lost on the same court, he is not lying.
Bro, what?
Yeah, they ran through AAU. They ran through all that. Like,
really?
They were the truth, man. Utmost respect to the Ball family. I got cool with them over the years, though. I like LeVar a lot, man. I really appreciate.
I feel like he's a character, and then he's somebody
persona,
else off the. Is it all the same person?
I don't know him well enough to know what he's like at home, but when I see him, he's a solid dude. solid dude. That's like dope. he's a real father. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and
got to. You raised three NBA players.
Exactly. That shit you crazy. Come on. That's what I'm talking about right there. You raised three NBA players. You should be in the Hall of Fame.
Hell yeah.
Straight drop. Who can say they raised three NBA players?
That's wild, right?
The Holidays can say that. That's out here.
That's true.
Antetokounmpo's
he's an NBA champion. The
Antetokounmpo's. You know, how many?
And two of them already won trophies.
You fuck. Feel me?
I want to say there's one more.
The Plumlees.
Plumlees.
The Plumlee, but as a black guy.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I'm from out here. Yeah.
He's from South Central. Like, yeah. I'm a big ball family fan. Like, and I trained Jello.
Really?
I've trained Jello. Yeah. I trained Jello when he was going to UCLA. Like right before that season
how
started.
How did that open for you, that opportunity?
Yeah, how did that transit? Because I could see the roots of it, of mm-hmm. like you training your brother, yeah. you becoming a parent, caring you for your other siblings.
Yeah.
So you see that potential there of like the elements that are there in order to transition to that. But yeah. how does that opportunity actually come about where you're like, all right, I'm going to become a basketball trainer?
Good question. So it started back when we was talking about when my little brother just following 15. Me around.
Yep. Doing those and laps around the house.
Take the laps around the house. I did it, so you got to do it.
Oh, shit.
You know, I dribbled 1,000 times with my left hand. You got to do it. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Follow me. Do what I'm doing. And I was becoming a trainer then. I didn't know it had a term. Didn't know what a trainer was or nothing like that. But if you're going to be as good as me, because I would always talk crazy to my little brother, like, you ain't better than me or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, just... You know, being a big brother. But if I'm doing this, you got to do it. And if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. And if you mess up, then just leave because you're not taking it serious. Right. Like, I was that hard on them. So it starts there. That's the
holding them accountable, like, now
yeah,
you want to be
accountability
this?
From the gates.
That's fire, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I'm showing you something, I got to do it right, too.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So now I'm getting better at showing and demonstrating.
Because that's the other thing, too, is when you teach, it's a different element that you discover in what you're teaching. Absolutely. And you become better at the craft that you start teaching.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. That's exactly how it goes. So now if I'm passing you the ball, I want to make sure I'm passing it the right way. So what is that going to do for my actual game? It's going to make me better as a passer.
For sure.
If I'm teaching you how to dribble harder and I'm demonstrating how to dribble harder, what is that going to do for my actual game? I'm going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing it so hard because I want you to do it so hard that, you know, it's translating to my game as well. So I'm teaching him, and as I'm teaching him, I'm getting better as well. So you start off training that way. And then I would say my first client, the first person who asked me to train them was my little cousin, A-John. I called him my little cousin, but he grew up on Gage Avenue, just like us, foster home, got nothing. You know what I'm saying?
But basketball.
Nothing, right?
What was the name of that street you said?
Gage, G-A-G-E.
Is that where your where the brand comes through?
The acronym for your brand.
We'll definitely tie all that back in for sure.
Ooh, that's interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
Full circle, right?
Yeah, full Everything circle. We'll tie all that back in.
It's
but
all
yeah,
connected.
A-John was probably my first client because he came up to me and asked me to train. He asked me, he said, hey, can you make me as good as DeVerl? And A-John's 2 years older than DeVerl. So when A-John was in eighth grade, my brother was in sixth.
Hey, cooking him. Like, yo, how is he cooking when he's younger than me? What the
fuck? Literally, I've never seen a kid so mature. But he had to raise himself. Like, A-John is one of the kids that had to really panhandle outside. He would be a kid, snotty nose, in front of the gas stations. Hey, can I pump your gas for, you know.
In South Central, fam. What?
South Central, like, a real one. Like, that's A-John crazy, is bro. One of my favorite human beings. So... he come up to me and I'm sitting on my gate. I remember like it was yesterday. My little broke down little fence and I'm leaning on it. Hey, can you make me as good as DeVerl? I look at him. I'm like, I don't know if you're going to get good as DeVerl, but you know, come work out with him.
You can try.
And I did the same thing with A-John. Run around this house 20 times.
Got the same regiment.
Run around this house 20 times, then come back, do 10 push-ups, and then dribble the ball until I say stop. And they both threw up. I put them through a crazy workout. Probably
That's
shouldn't.
When you know you really got worked out when you throw up.
Probably shouldn't have did that to them because I didn't know what I was actually doing.
Right. Yeah.
But
you didn't know the science behind the body and all that. Yeah.
Not at all. Never seen nobody actually train somebody. Never actually seen it. But we was doing that, and they kept coming back, and they never quit. So A-John, in 3 months, got so much better.
Oh, wow.
He got so much
better. I'm sure his left
hand. And he was a football, like he liked to, you know, catch the ball and all that. He really couldn't, you know, walk and chew gum in basketball yet. But in about 3-4 months, we signed him up at the YMCA. My dad paid for his first basketball shoes.
That's dope.
Yeah, yeah. Paid for his first team, like his YMCA team. His
membership, feed. Yeah.
And that was the first guy that I was like, okay. You know, when and from there, people would ask me like, "Hey, are they? Do they have coaches? Do they have trainers?" And that's the first time I start hearing trainer. Mm. Like, who's his trainer? So A. John would get that question. My brother would get that question.